I'm Jane, and I'm standing in for Rich White, who is unwell at the moment. And when I got the SOS for this, I thought, oh, yes, this is a subject close to my heart. So I'll jump in and share a few rambled thoughts with you this morning. It's about this is the last in our series of rhythms, and this is about the rhythm of retreating. I'm going to read two very short readings, a couple of verses each, to set the scene this morning. The first one is from Luke chapter 5, verse 16. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. And the second reading this morning is Mark 6, verse 31. At the end of the apostles coming back to Jesus, reporting all that they'd done when he'd sent them out two by two. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. So as we start to explore this theme of retreating this morning, as I was reflecting on it, I think there's some different meanings that fly around today. And most of us think of the military aspect of this. It's the act of withdrawing. We've lost a battle and we're withdrawing. But this morning we want to look at the fact that it's a place, a retreat is a place of privacy, a place affording peace and quiet. Now, I've had the privilege of walking with the Lord for 39 years and counting. And I would say I'm only still standing as a follower of Jesus through all the ups and downs. Boys, have I had downs? Have I done things wrong all those years? Because I was introduced to this rhythm of retreat as a young Christian. I started work at St. Aldate's Church up the road in Oxford, being a Christian about 14 months or so, and it was a great place to work in and a great place to learn about all the different spiritual disciplines and to learn about the balance of rhythm and mission. And somebody there must have suggested this. And so I began to put bits of time in and found it really advantageous, found it that God basically met with me. And I remember at one point we'd had a particularly bad time of crisis and problems. You know, you get that in any organization, you certainly get it in churches. And I went to sit down and visit with one of the clergy, and I began to pour out everything I was feeling, and bless him, such an amazing man. He just sat there and started to weep at the other side of the room. He said, I can feel your pain. Jane, I'm prescribing you. I'm sending you off on a silent retreat to a place down in Kent. So he booked it. Off I went. I was fed and watered. There was a little input each day for this particular retreat. And I just went for walks each day and read the Bible a bit and just basically had a holiday with God. But I was still carrying just so much hurt and broken trust. But by the end, they had a healing service and laying on of hands in the last day. And I just went up to the rail it was, and you knelt down, and some guy put his hands on me, and boy, the power of God came in. That I got up from that place, went straight to the phone booth, rang my good friend and said, my trust is back, my hope is back, the pain is gone. And I went straight back in to finish what was an amazing time in that journey. So I can bear witness to the fact that God, when we put ourselves in the place of meeting with God, God loves to meet with us. So my sense is that retreating is all about encountering God. It's being focused on him. It's in solitude with him without distraction, allowing the depths of my very being, the depths of our soul and our spirit to be understood, to be listened to be heard, so that it actually can be healed and restored. It's about creating space for God, the more of God that he is longing to share with us into our hearts, minds, and bodies. And as I've said, it can be done in different ways. I was reminded as I reflected on this that back in 2005, there was a television program called The Monastery, when five men of different ages and backgrounds were invited to go and spend 40 days at Worth Abbey with the monks. They were asked to listen continuously and deeply to themselves, to other people, and to God. 40 days later, this listening had reshaped their their hearts and minds. They all left with amazing testimony to tell how they'd been met by God. And the interesting thing, that was watched by 3 million people. So, and they've had a lot more requests, and there's a whole retreat association, and the number of people wanting to go away and find space is certainly something that we are hungering for in this busy, busy life. So let's dip back into those two readings, because they both give us a different sense of what I sense Jesus is wanting us today to take away. So Luke 5 is Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. So for me, if he often did it, it was probably part of a rhythm. The withdrawing is he pulled back from his front line. What's our front line? He headed off to a lonely place. Remember, he was a homeless person. He didn't have a house, lots of different rooms, running water, all these different things that we have. He needed to get apart from the people in order to pray with his father, have a good chat and a catch up. And we notice in other passages in the Gospels, after times of breakthrough, what did Jesus do? Went to a lonely place and prayed. Before major decisions, what did Jesus do? Go to a lonely place and prayed. And before crisis, ultimately in the Garden of Gethsemane, he went to a lonely place, but of course on that occasion, the disciples were around and actually experienced and saw what was going on in his intimacy with the Father. So what do we think was going on when he withdrew? From my own experience, I believe he met with his Father and received his love. He received strength. He got wisdom and direction, protection, a filling up by the Holy Spirit, so that he was able to go out and carry on preaching the gospel and bringing in the kingdom of God. And I say that because that's are some of the things that happens to me if and when I take those times, doesn't matter if it's a short time or a longer time, of actually going and putting myself before God. I remember a couple of times, I was when I was living up in Nottingham, I remember one time I was feeling particularly tired and just went for the day. I reserved a room, took maybe my Bible, and just hung out with God all day. Didn't particularly sense anything, nothing, you know, in terms of dramatic experience. But boy, when I got in the car and went home, I knew I'd been met and I could face all that was there again with a new strength and a new confidence. On another occasion, completely different. I was tired again. Notice, I often get tired and weary. And I remember reserving my little room and I made my coffee and I put my coffee in and I sat down in the big comfy chair. Wham! The Spirit of God came, wrapped himself around me like a blanket. And I don't think I move the rest of the day. And that's all I needed. He meets us in different ways at different times when we do put ourselves in the path of doing that. And I believe that that invitation is for us today as well. Now, the second reading is all more in that place of activity, in that place of mission, in that place of day-to-day life, in that place of where we would all find ourselves on our front line. And they'd come back, lots to report, and then Jesus was very anxious that they didn't get caught up with all the doing. Oh, I get so easily caught up with all the doing. And began to teach them this rhythm of retreat. He was so concerned about the bigger issue of how they would sustain their spiritual life that without wasting any time, he invites them to experience solitude and he sends them off on a boat in a place of solitude to reconnect with their Father, reconnect with themselves. And it's interesting, if you read through Mark after he's fed the 5,000, the miracle of the 5,000, again, the disciples could be caught up in the wow moment. What does he do? He says, off you go. And of course, we then see all of his teaching being outworked in the life of the early church when they took time to spend time before God. And I think it's very interesting that our Archbishop, Justin Welby, set up the St. Anselm community last year. They've done one complete year, inviting people of all ages to come into a rhythm of prayer and solitude and retreat and then go out on mission. And the second year's intake, all based out of Lambeth Palace. Some people working in their ordinary frontline day jobs, others going out on the mission field and helping the homeless, etc. It's becoming something that we're becoming more aware of as the Spirit starts to lead us in our busy lives to actually say, this could be possible. So my sense is that retreating is about positioning ourselves for more of God and rediscovering his rhythm of solitude and rest. And certainly the expectation that we have here about that God is wanting to move in our community, in Whitney, in our region, that is mirrored right across the nation. I was in a gathering of leaders a couple of weeks ago. The sense of expectancy amongst a bunch of leaders whose average age was 35, that we are not giving up on our nation. We are going to see our nation changed. We are going to see the good news of Jesus. We are going to see the imbalances of north, south, rich, poor. We are going to see these things shifting and move because this is what the kingdom of God is about. So how apt that we can look in and dip into this subject today. I was chatting to a friend last week who'd been in a difficult place, stage of life, when I last caught up with her a year ago, very dark place. And she was sharing how God was leading her on this journey of encountering and positioning herself to make way for meeting with God. And she shared it actually publicly with the whole group I was with. And she said at one point she was just with him and she heard him whisper, "You have my full attention. Do I have yours?" And it was said with great love, and it really helped her over the hump of thinking she couldn't talk to him about things, because when she heard and knew that his heart said, "I have your full attention." Friends, this morning, he is giving you his full attention. He is giving all of us his full attention. So we need to move on. What are some of the challenges and the opportunities then? The challenges and the opportunities. I would say we've got lots of challenges in our culture today that are pulling us away from rest and solitude and quietness and stillness. But then those challenges, I believe, can be turned into opportunities. So whatever stage of life we're at this morning, whatever age, whether we are married, single, whether we don't have children, but we have grandparents, we have nephews and nieces, we have extended family, whether we have children under school age, whether we have children at school, whether we have teenagers, whether we are unemployed, whether we have moved on from working, we're all on a level playing field with this. Because we all tend to be, and I've had lots of conversations, we all tend to be time poor. The 24 hours don't seem to be enough. We often find ourselves in extended times of weariness and tiredness because I think that's the drivenness of our culture. And some of us in the whole of our world and some of us in the church family across the UK, we're actually so tired we've given up and we think, why bother? I haven't got the energy to even think about this whole area. And of course, our technological world of instant access to anywhere at any time, how wonderful, can also be a slight downfall. And the expectation that we have to be there for everyone at every day. And also my own vulnerability, our own vulnerability. I couldn't spend time with God. I don't feel I'm worthy. I don't. All these things, and I know because they bubble up in me, when you think that you're going to give and position yourself with God, and this might just be for a 5-minute time with God, all these things can surface. But he is there. He's got our attention. And he's willing and waiting by his Holy Spirit to draw us on. So what might this look like? I think it's going to involve us making some choices and learning to say no. Making choices and learning to say no. Disconnect to connect, especially over time issues. There's family commitments, there's job commitments, there's things that we're involved in. But you know, as I've talked to people and I've walked with all my friends on their journey, whether it's busy working households, planning to make encountering God something that we can put in place, whether we have retired from work responsibilities, again, there's new ways and rhythms of doing things, but we can make it work. The very young children, tiny babes in arms, under school age, nursery age, ask for help. Ask for help. Lovely part of a family I was, church family, where we used to make sure that those who've just had really, really tiny ones, someone would just come and offer to give them an hour. And it wasn't to go shopping and tidy up and do everything. It was actually so that they could just reconnect back with God. Just pour that cup of coffee, sit in a chair and be filled up. Children at school, a couple of good friends on this one. That temptation, oh my goodness, everything is flying. You've just got them off to school. And she said, the Lord showed me. I walked into the door. I did not do anything. Put the washing machine on, tidy up the mess, make the list. Spent time with him. And out of that, life flowed. Life flowed. And it's mums and dads, parents, living in households. We have to learn to make time, so that each of us can have some space and some time. And those of us like me who are single still have to carve out the time. Everyone thinks it must be easy for you. I can think of 5 million things to do before actually I sit down or go or make some time with the Lord. And Simon started this series by inviting us to think about Sabbath. And I would underscore that. I put Sabbath back in my life 14 months ago, and it has been life transformational. Leave it there. Ask me afterwards if you want. There's a disconnect to connect for time. There's a disconnect to connect on the whole technology. Phones, apps, webs, social media is actually becoming a trap for many people. There's a number of, Simon sent me a very interesting testimony from an American blog site. It was headlined, "I used to be a human being." An endless bombardment of news and gossip and images has rendered us manic information addicts. It broke me. It might break you. This was someone who really had had a complete meltdown and breakdown and had to go into therapy because of his complete dependence on social media, not in his own life, but in his work life as well. So for those who love surfing the web, using your phone, do an experiment. In a typical day, count the number of times you look at your smartphone. How much time do you spend connecting on social media and or taking photos of your favorite meal to post? What does this teach us about the choices we're making? And ask the Lord how this could be turned into time. It might be quality time for yourself and actually an amazing prompt to pray for others. And can I be controversial, unless it's a matter of life and death? Experiment with shutting off your phone. Start with a few minutes. Move it to an evening. If it's your work phone, start moving it through the whole of your weekends. And instead, think of all this time that you might have in order to reconnect, not only with your loved ones, but with the Lord. And finally, after this disconnecting to connect, find the place that enables you and me, you, to be present in his presence. Find the place that enables us to be present in his presence. It might be a very short time. I love the story, John Wesley's mother, going back a few centuries. Apparently she had 8 children, didn't have much room. What did she do? She put the apron over her head. When the apron was over her head in the kitchen, that was her quiet time. That was her solitude time. I know friends of mine who have, you know, they have a snuggle chair with their young children. And this is the time when we sit on the chair, we're quiet. We're quiet. Because the interesting thing is, you know, when you're around people who know how to live in solitude and rest, it rubs off on us, as it does if we're around people who are all hyped up and ready to go. And it's amazing how our children and young people can be really quietened as we come into that place of quiet. It might be that you go out for a walk. It might be that you go out for a run. I love walking in the countryside. It might be a special place that you have found, a retreat centre. I had a couple of people come up to me after the service saying, can we create some of this space here for us as a community? So that's something we need to explore, where we provide a time when we can actually have a morning or an afternoon together to be facilitated in solitude with the Lord. So if retreating is all about positioning ourselves for more of God, rediscovering his rhythms of solitude and rest, it's also about us giving life to others. Because I know that as I am more filled up from these times of solitude and retreating with God, I am more able, I'm a more tolerant person. I can exude more of his love and mercy and grace. So as I close this morning, I just want just to have maybe a moment where you think, what was maybe the one thing that you want to take away from this morning? And then I just want to pray for us to have the courage and the boldness to go out from here, following the nudge of the Holy Spirit on what he may have been whispering to us this morning. Just a moment for you to just draw breath. Jesus' invitation from the Message version from Matthew 11 says, "Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." And Father, we thank you for this opportunity this morning to dip into your word. And we just want to pray that by your Spirit, you will lead each one of us on from the stage of life we're at into the next place, the next season of learning how to position ourselves to receive more from you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.